Are you tired of conventional political talk? Enter the new dimension of political talk. Current events, politics, entertainment. The Current Podcast is on now. This is the Current Podcast 2008 election coverage. This is the most comprehensive election podcast on the internet. This is the Current.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Current. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2008. This is our special Teens and Politics episode. I am joined today by Andrew Shantz, Jacob Izzavati, Taylor France, and Drew Jurgensen for our first panel episode. We're crammed into the Tom Frank Studios here. How's everyone doing today?
Pretty good.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
All right. That's good. Drew's been a little distracted because he's got an eBay auction winding down.
Oh, yeah.
What are you bidding on?
I am bidding on Athens 2004 video game for PlayStation 2.
What is that?
It is a game where you play Olympic events like sprinting and swimming, and it's for the PlayStation 2.
No, I mowed my lawn the other day, and I think that was more fun.
Oh, hey, yeah,
no guns involved, no shooting people.
Don't knock it until you try it. No, there are no guns.
What kind of teenager
wholesome
are you?
Killing hookers?
A cool one.
None of that? No killing hookers?
No.
It's no fun.
A terrible game.
You don't get to skirt.
Yeah. Some of them
skirt
do.
They skirt?
No.
Oh.
I don't know what you're talking
then it's
about.
Not worth anything.
How do the pole vaulters look?
The women look like men, if that's what you're going for.
Oh.
That kind of puts a damper on it. Today we are going to talk about quite a bit of stuff. We've got a lot to discuss. We're going to talk about, well, we're going to start off with the 2008 election. Now that we know who our nominees are, we have John McCain and Barack Obama. I just say
pardon
like
me,
that.
could you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
Barack Obama and John
oh,
McCain.
Oh, thank you.
Let's Barack get something out of the gate here before we start anything, because you'll soon realize that everyone knows because they listen to the show that I'm a conservative because I've done 100 episodes. If you don't know that by now, you're an idiot. Vizzo, Jacob Izzavati, is a... What are your political leanings, Vizzo?
I describe myself as to the left.
To the left.
Far to the left.
I'm far
to the left.
To the right.
Far to the right and
to
far
the
to
right,
the left.
To the right.
Which is funny, because from my perspective, they're on the left and the right. And I didn't do that on purpose.
Whoa.
Wow.
Taylor and Drew Ooh. Are our residents not so much into politics like Andrew and Vizzo. How would you guys describe yourself?
I like sports.
Illiterate.
No, seriously.
Oh, politically?
Yeah.
I would say I've usually been more left, although, I don't know, with this election, I would probably swing either way, depending on the person.
Taylor?
I like swings.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I change my views like the weather, pretty much.
Well, we're going to find out. Part of what we're going to do today is we are going to analyze you two and determine who you should vote for. That is part of what we're doing. But first, I want
lab rats.
And you have to vote
like
for
lab
whom
rats
we tell you.
We're going to put you in a maze with cheese at the end, and you're going to run around and try to find it.
I like cheese.
Not I literally, don't. I figured it was, but okay.
Damn.
I like cheese, too. Let's start off with... I want to start off with a couple questions to get started, because I want you to put party politics aside, myself included, which is impossible for me.
Hmm.
And what candidate do you think... We have two left, and you can look into third-party candidates... Like Bob Barr, who's a libertarian candidate. But what candidate do you think, and this is really a dumb question, but it's obvious, is more appealing to the youth?
The right one.
I said putting party politics aside. You missed that part of my question.
Barack Obama, obviously.
Well,
yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He's because
young.
He's better.
Because he's young.
McCain's bald.
He's hip.
He is hip.
He's trendy.
He's better.
He's inexperienced.
He goes on MTV.
We're going to get it. Well, everyone went on MTV. MTV had the whole huge forum where everybody came and all the kids were sitting around and like, ee-woo.
Okay, sorry, I'll rephrase. He went on TRL.
Did he go on TRL?
He did.
Yeah.
So,
that's
I'm definitely voting now.
Now that he was on TRL. I didn't know TRL was still on.
What's TRL?
Down. What's TRL?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Total are you kidding right now?
Request live.
So here's the thing, though.
Music videos.
Right. But why do we think the youth likes Obama? Is it because he's, what, 40-something? And young and, you
that's
know.
That's not very young compared
hip.
To me.
compared to you, but compared to presidential candidates, that's pretty young.
He's still like my dad, and me and my dad don't get along that great.
Okay. I hope he hears us.
Anyways, but I mean, do youth actually do research to figure out who they care about? I mean,
no.
No.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Good God, why would you do that when you can go play video games where you shoot hookers?
Totally. So why is it Barack Obama is appealing to the youth?
Ooh, this is tough.
Ooh. I bring up a good point.
I think young people are usually Democrats in general. I would say that they kind of float that way.
See, if we know they don't do research.
I think one of the reasons is they don't really care about the money side of it because they're not paying taxes like their parents are.
That's true.
And that's
they have a job.
That's what the Republicans. Yeah, but okay. So I lose $10 on my paycheck taxes. Yeah.
Well, you're only losing $10 on your paycheck. I lose like $35.
You know, I worked once a week. Just okay, whatever. Beside the point. Beside the point. I'm just saying they're more. They're just Democrats in general, and I think Barack being a young Democrat and being African American, you know, I just think that they're kind of drawn to that.
But do you know, 20 or 30 years ago, all the young people voted conservative. Everyone, 1980, all the young people were crazy about Ronald Reagan. And so I think it's more that the young people are more prone to think that the older people aren't able to run the country because they're not able to adapt to change.
But Ronald Reagan was the oldest president ever elected to office.
Yeah, but he was different from the norm.
He was from Hollywood.
He was different. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as long as he was different and he was a change, that's what they wanted. They were thinking that they knew better than their old man.
That's a good point. I think I would tend to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own political beliefs. Where do we all get our political beliefs from? Because if we know we don't do research, well, not everyone. If we know the majority of the youth doesn't do research, where do they all get their political beliefs from? And that would be, I would say, parents, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, speak of that. I mean, what do you mean, unfortunately?
It's unfortunate that a lot of kids listen to their parents think, and you ask them, well, why do you like this candidate? Well, my dad was telling me how much he loved him the other day, and they don't stop and think for themselves, and that's really disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Which we'll get. Actually, let's get into this right now. Because there is this this campaign, there's the Declare Yourself organization, which they basically encourage young people to vote, which is good, don't get me wrong. But they teamed. I was walking by American Eagle and I saw this outside. And it's like, if you register to vote, you can get this sweet looking T-shirt. And I'm like, okay. So I go online, I look at it. Here's the T-shirt. It's a little bland for me. Yeah. It's like an unimaginative boob made this. But to be honest with you, I think that what's happening is with these organizations like Declare Yourself and like Vote or Die, mm-hmm. right? We had Vote or Die in 2004, and all these celebrities were like, oh, Vote or Die, and then like none of them voted.
Yeah.
Like Paris Hilton, she wore the T-shirt every day, and she didn't vote, which I think we should, you know, keep her up on her promise, and she should die now.
Yeah, she contributes to society in other ways.
Yeah, it would be too complicated for her to vote. She'd be like, oh, the bubble? Why am I going to do that? So, but I think it's come to the point where it's so... It's more of a trend than it is a privilege or a right to do it, and that you don't actually take it seriously. You're going to go buy the T-shirt simply because it's a trend and it's, you know, that kind of thing, and not actually because you want to or you know how to vote or you know who to vote for the right reasons or whatever. But, I mean, the Declare Yourself website does have their little – they have, like, a place where you can go and read about the candidates, but they don't really do much on there. So that kind of bugged me.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, I know. But the youth are coming out more in this election. We've seen that already. 2 million voters on the Democratic side in Super Tuesday, 900,000 on the Republican side in Super Tuesday. What is it about this year voting that makes teenagers want to vote more?
You mean 18 and 19-year-old teenagers?
Well, youth.
Okay.
Yeah, youth.
So we're just talking like the younger demographic.
Let me say youth.
Well, I think they've seen with Bush, I mean, so many of them not voting ended up in something that they're not happy with. And I guess obviously a lot of people are upset with Bush, and I think kids think that if they had voted, they would have had their voices heard and could have had some sort of impact, even though both candidates weren't, I mean, the best, and they still aren't. But
I think that the way that kids, that younger people are getting more involved in politics is a reflection of how it's portrayed in the media, because it used to be that... presidential politics and stuff would never get into jokes or would never get into T-shirts or would never get into anything that younger people encountered. And now when you see Saturday Night Live skits about you know, strategery and lockboxes from 2000, and you see these kind of things get in there more and more, they become more aware of it. And once it comes to them in a way that they can identify with, then they get more active in it.
And I think it's also because, well, the internet plays a huge role, I think.
Definitely.
Because
the internet is for porn.
That's it. well, no.
Vizzo.
we know what Vizzo does with his time.
Nothing else. Yeah.
Alone.
That's
a song from a musical. just saying.
No. Anyways, but the Facebook has been huge. I think Barack Obama has like a million friends on Facebook.
Or I'm one.
Ridiculous. What, you're one of them?
I'm one of his friends.
I'm not.
God, yeah, neither am I. You guys friends with Barack Obama?
Yeah, but you have a Rudy Giuliani poster on your wall, so.
Not a poster. It is a sheet of paper.
Oh.
12 commitments
my
to
my apologies.
America.
It says hopeless.
That's Ron
That's
Paul.
Ron Paul. That's Taylor, who doesn't know anything about politics.
Where's the poster?
Right behind you. Right next to the... It's not even a poster.
Oh.
That's why I said it was a sheet of paper.
Never mind.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't read. It starts with R, I assume. It's all the same.
What? Well.
Rudy,
exactly
Ron,
the
whatever.
Point of this discussion.
anyways... But no, Barack Obama has been more on Facebook and MySpace and YouTube and John McCain. I mean, I think it is the fact that John McCain is 71 years old and the fact that people are like, oh, that guy is really, really old. You
well,
know.
Since a Democrat invented the internet, it really
Al
helps.
Al Gore, that's right.
That's right.
We exactly. forgot about that. I actually might have that sound clip on my computer. It's one of my favorite sound
if
clips.
If you play it, I'll hit you.
That is my.
I will hit you.
That is my second favorite.
I will punch you in the face.
That is my second favorite.
He was being so sarcastic.
That is my second favorite sound clip.
That is the most drunk comment in the entire world.
That is my second favorite.
I hate you.
That is my second favorite sound clip outside of the sound clip in which Barack Obama went to Iowa and said that, has anybody seen the price of arugula lately? Been into a Whole Foods and seen the price of arugula lately? And he was speaking to Iowa farmers who didn't even grow arugula, and there aren't even Whole Foods in Iowa. And they're all like, what? Whole Foods? Arugula? What the hell are you talking about? That is my favorite sound clip ever. I should play that one just to piss you off.
Leroy Jenkins.
Well stated. So with this Barack Obama has said that his campaign started because of Facebook, apparently, which I think is a bunch of malarkey. Yeah, I think
he
it was let
that?
Me hear. Yeah, it said there is let's see here. The truth is it was the young people who drew Obama into this race. Groups started spontaneously to urge him to run on Facebook and elsewhere, and I think he was moved by that. There was David Axelrod, his top advisor. Which
it's
is,
kind of a stretch to go from that comment to he got in the race because of Facebook. I'd just like to point that out.
Okay.
Kind of a stretch.
Facebook helped him decide to start his candidacy for president. Is that better?
Maybe.
Thank you. But I want to talk about this one thing, because Obama, his California offices have had this thing called First Fridays, and it's where they basically draw a bunch of young people into this room. And they feed them Obama propaganda. And I'm not... that's basically what it is.
Tasty.
Because listen to how... This is a student for Obama member, and she talks about how she was forced into supporting Obama. This was... One of her friends gave him
Are
the
you
book.
Just going to trash Obama the rest of the hour?
No. But we'll get
okay.
into that.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
All
don't
right,
worry.
Thank you.
Because we'll have some fun with that. Don't worry.
Never gonna happen in your life. It's completely changed me. A year ago, I honestly didn't care about politics at all. And it took a friend... He basically forced me to read Obama's book. Like, I really didn't have a choice. I was stuck for the whole weekend, and that was my only reading material. And, like, a couple, maybe what was it, like, 3 hours later, I closed the book, and I was just like, you know what? I'm on board. I went online, I did some more research, and then basically got pulled into the Students for Barack Obama team, and I have not looked back since. And if you guys can join, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to grab me or the girl who's been running around, because we're definitely here to answer any questions that you guys have, and really, students, you guys are what it's all about.
Really, students, you're what it's all about. No, that's a lie. That's not right. Because the youth never comes and votes. They never vote. You can go for them and say, oh, sweet, I'm going to get the youth vote, and then maybe you might win if they actually come out and vote, but they're too lazy and dumb. Sorry. What is the number one issue for teens in this election? For you guys.
You can't.
For you guys. What do you think, personally, or as a whole, is the number one issue for teenagers?
It's definitely how we interact with the rest of the world.
Why?
Because with the internet and, you know, the whole globalization, it's becoming more and more reality that you can't just live in this world as an isolationist and just pretend like if I take care of my own stuff and if everybody takes care of their own stuff, everything's going to work out, because at some point our country, our everyone has to work with the rest of the world. And doing things as a country that are against world opinion, that can no longer fly.
Andrew, what do you think the number one issue is?
Well, for teens, I don't think we have an issue. I don't think we're like the rest of the nation.
When you say teens, are you talking like just like people that can vote
youth,
but are young?
Yeah. Youth voters.
Well, I mean, I think that if you're like over 13, 14, I mean, you should still have an issue that you feel is important to you, whether or not you can vote. You should still feel that there's an issue that is important to you and that should be represented in the next president.
Oh, well, allowance.
No, seriously.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah. I don't think we have a collective issue because not like the adult population. That's the economy, obviously. We're all concerned about the economy. For me, it's, you know, upholding the values that America has come to uphold for the past 200 years and making sure that we are strong as a nation. Unified at home is more important to me than how other countries view us. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for other youth, I agree with Vizzo here that making it known that the U.S. is a world power and like we're good in the world with everybody else and we have peace and everything is probably on the minds of everybody else. But for me, it's more getting it back home and making sure that we're strong at home before we do anything else.
Taylor, Drew, for you personally, necessarily, or from what you think?
I agree with what Andrew said about internal affairs being a top priority, because I agree with that a lot. On the most basic level, I'm a little worried about gas prices.
That's true.
Because
that's
I have to
point.
Pay for gas, yeah. And I don't rake in over $100,000 like a lot of adults do. And,
well, like I do. And you can vote.
Or like Jacob Visavati does.
Can you vote?
So.
Can you vote? No, you can vote.
I can vote, yes.
So if that's a big issue for you, who are you going to vote for based upon an issue of gas prices?
I have no idea.
Who do you think?
I don't know.
How do you think we should fix
gas
prices? I don't want to put you on the spot here. Well, if that's your big issue, you think you should look into it.
I think that we need to develop alternative ways, alternative fuel.
Okay.
So whoever supports that, I would say, because, I mean, gas is not unlimited.
They both do, so you're kind of the safe bet there if that's what you're voting for. But, hey, yeah. I mean, we can get into more oil prices a little later, gas prices. I don't really want to because I don't want to go on a tangent because I know I will. Taylor?
I don't know. I think I'm worried about somebody coming in and making this big outline of what we can and can't do. And I lean more towards small government, and I don't know. I think, well, neither of the candidates really, really support that, but I think Obama would be better in that view. I mean, I don't want... Well, I mean...
I don't know. I mean, this is the guy who said we've got to stop driving the SUVs and stop keeping our houses at 72
well, I mean, neither,
hours.
Neither candidate's early.
Well, no, like, no. Yeah. I mean, if McCain was a true conservative and kept with the conservative line of thinking 100%, he would be more like that. But he is more of a... You know, he supports cap and trade and these crazy environmental things where you have to tax everybody up the, you know, up the ass until they... you know, stop using carbon and all this crap. So, yeah, neither of them are. And a libertarian candidate might be more of along those lines, like a Bob Barr, although Bob Barr is a little wacko for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's do... Okay, well, let's talk about this. So let me say what my number one issue is for teens. I have two. They're tied. And I think... And I just narrowed it down to one particular issue, which was Social Security and minimum wage. Because in Social Security, we should be concerned about, because if we don't do something, it's going to be dried up. And we're all going to be screwed, because I'm getting charged for Social Security. Anyone who works is getting charged to pay for Social Security. And if I don't see that money again, I'm a little ticked. And minimum wage, which can, I think, go both ways, because you might say, oh, minimum wage, awesome, I get paid more. I view it as minimum wage spike in the hike in minimum wage might actually and is actually hurting jobs right now and unemployment rates right now. Especially amongst teenagers, because those are the minimum wage workers. So those are my two issues. But let's do this. Should the voting age be lowered? There's not really a lot of talk about this. This used to be kind of a big thing. But should it be lowered to something like 16?
No.
Why?
No.
Because 16-year-olds don't pay enough attention.
But don't you think... I mean, I thought that too. But don't you think that the people who actually paid attention would be the only ones who would go and vote? I mean, that's what I think.
Well, I think...
There's a difference between an interested voter and an informed voter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's more important to have educated and informed voters going than just interested. Because it's too, I mean, you have a lot of young people that, even though I support Obama, I'd be disappointed to hear that young people are going because he's trending, because he's happened, because yeah. it's the cool thing to do, and because he's the cool candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be
t-shirt.
Extremely disappointed to oh, hear yeah. that kind
free
of thing.
T-shirt.
I would be. I would John much McCain rather hear about t-shirt. Someone voting for John McCain because they researched and were and supported his positions on issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be much happier to hear that. I'd be much prouder of my country.
That's good. Yeah, I do think we need to give youth more practice before they do get out into the real world of voting. It was on the NPR a few weeks ago, I think. Michigan House of Representatives, they wanted to, it was the Democrats. I actually thought this was a good idea. They wanted to pass a bill, legislation, that would allow 16-year-olds to vote in school board elections, mm-hmm. which I thought would, you know, give them some good practice for
yeah.
when they actually elect a national candidate. And I do think that youth need to be more involved before they actually start voting in the big elections because, like Vizzo said, they need to make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And
so let's do this right now. Because Drew and Taylor are kind of our lab rats right now.
Yeah.
Because they're not so much into politics, but yet still obviously have opinions. And so far, pretty good ones. We'll see how that continues, though. So we're going to tell them, because both of them don't seem too confident about who to vote for, correct?
Right.
I mean, you're
yeah.
not going to be voting,
yeah.
but if you could.
Right.
But Drew is a little, I don't know, off the beaten path here. So we're going to, let's quiz them. A, Andrew, Jacob, and myself will throw out an issue and ask them what they believe in, and we'll see if we can line them up with a candidate.
I have a question first.
Okay.
These two. Let's say there's a candidate who opposed your view on some sort of social issue, like abortion or something like that. But you felt he was an extremely strong candidate in economic views and in foreign policy. Would you vote for him even though he was against a moral principle of yours because you thought he would be better for the country?
Yes.
I think more if they're, like, well-rounded to what I'm looking for, I suppose I would still vote for them. But, again, I don't know, I'm really pro-abortion, so... Not pro-abortion, but I mean pro-choice.
Let's kill babies!
Pro-choice! Pro-choice. And, I don't know, I'd really have to wait. But their views.
I was going to say something. I was going to say, whenever I think of... And that's a very good question. Whenever I think of something like that, though, I always think in the lines of on a moral issue like that, there are so many other realms of our government that can influence it,
yeah.
that having a president, I always think in a moral issue like that, you know, something like national security always trumps it. That's how I always consider it, because Congress or Supreme Court can always overturn
the president does not make the decision
exactly.
to legalize
yeah.
gay marriage or
exactly.
to legalize abortion.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but he'll eventually have the veto power or whatever, unless, depending. And
right.
we can get
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, and again, I would
Did
hope
you know
this
that there are three branches in the government?
You know, I didn't.
Wonderful.
I didn't pass third grade,
you
so I didn't
look that up in a book. Wikipedia is great for that.
Okay, let's go over another issue. Let's talk about the economy, because it's a big thing right now. More specifically, oil, because you mentioned gas prices. Should we, in order to fix gas prices or into gas prices, drill more oil, alternative energy, nuclear, out of those...
What was that?
Nuclear?
Shut up, Bizzle.
Nuclear?
Shut up. Oh, did I say it incorrectly? You want the Bush pronunciation? Well, what should we do in terms of drilling oil alternatives or nuclear energy to determine oil? Or fix oil, excuse me. I don't know why I said the word determine.
Are you asking,
I'm asking
our
them.
Apathetic ones?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like I already said, I think we need to focus our attention on alternative fuels, you know. I guess keep drilling while we do that. Unless, of course, my conspiracy theory is correct, and they already have alternative fuel, and they're just waiting to draw the oil so the oil manufacturers can sell it all.
What a crazy conspiracy theory.
You know, I have a lot of them,
yet.
But that just seems, you know, to relate
wow.
right now. Whatever the case is, find something else, hopefully reusable, that we can use in the future.
Okay. Taylor?
Yeah, I don't know. Alternative energy is not a big focus of mine, but, yeah, we should be looking for alternatives. I mean, we're not going to... run out eventually here, so.
There's a quote from a book that I like very much. It's a science fiction book from Robert Heinlein.
Good.
And in it, there's a character who is posed with a problem that he doesn't know how to solve, and he says, "Well, sir, I'm not an engineer, but my general experience with human engineers is that you tell them the problem and give them a little while, and they'll always find a way to solve it." And I think that's the case with our alternative energy crisis.
What do you think we should do, Vizzo? I want to hear your opinion.
I think I'm going to go play my cello, and that I'm going to wait a little while, and that my friends who are going to become engineers will solve that problem.
But no, I mean, right now, what do we do?
We wait, and we pay a lot of money for gas.
But why don't we just drill? Because it's going to take 20, 30, 40 years for an alternative to actually take into effect.
Are there massive oil? Do you have oil in your backyard that I don't know about?
There's oil all around this country enough to make us oil energy independent for 120 years.
Really?
Really.
Mm-hmm. Where'd that come from?
On the coast of pretty much every state in North Dakota. They just
Not getting this out?
Yeah, exactly.
Why is that?
Because of people like the Sierra Club and the Democrats in Congress who are so concerned about appeasing the constituency that they don't want to go and drill for more oil. We haven't built a new refinery in 30 years here. That's the problem. Anyways, we got to hit a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to continue to quiz Taylor and Drew and figure out, interrogate, if you will, Taylor and Drew and find out who they should vote for. And then we're going to get into a discussion more of our generation. Are we stupid? That's what one new book suggests. We'll talk about that after the break.
The 2008 presidential race is heating up. Don't let the media speak for you. Make your own statement with political apparel from conservativebuys.com. They have the largest selection of t-shirts, bumper stickers, and political gifts on the net, including anti-Hillary, illegal immigration, and pro-Second Amendment gear. Conservativebuys.com also offers election gear featuring Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and more. And up to 20% of all proceeds go to support charities and conservative causes. Save $5 off a purchase of $20 or more. Conservativebuys.com.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Are you looking for a place where you can discuss the current events that happened this week? A place where you can contribute your thoughts, perhaps talk to others with common insight? Cheap Books offers a free online discussion forum where people can gather to discuss these issues and seek further information from the community. The free public discussion forums at cheapbooks.com. Everything's cheap at cheapbooks.com.
Lights, camera, clues. It's time for the next book in the hit teen series, The Hollywood Sisters. The reviews are in. Humor abounds in this story of smooth detective work, says Midwest Book Review. Justine Magazine says, follow this wild ride complete with star sightings, embarrassing moments, and celebrity lives, Hollywood style. Get your copy of The Hollywood Sisters by Mary Wilcox at Borders or wherever books are sold.
Introducing Rick Devin's Old School, hits of the 60s and 70s. Featuring Chet McCracken, formerly of the Doobie Brothers, and Chris Pinnock, formerly of Chicago. CDs and downloads are now available through Amazon.com, Apple iTunes, and more. For more information about Rick Devin's old school hits of the 60s and 70s, visit RickDevin.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Current Teens and Politics episode. We are still... Everyone's rocking out to this song here.
Jeez. Love the song.
Remind me to turn it off now. I don't want to see Drew do the air guitar any more than I have
Come
to.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry. When we left you, Vizzo's writing random, I think, naughty things on that paper over there, actually, which we'll get into sexting a little later.
Are those two men?
Save that.
No, that's a bed.
two men will soon be gracing.
There's the man.
Before we left off, we were interrogating, I like to call it interrogating, Drew and Taylor to figure out who they should vote for, and we're going to advise them, or who they should support at the very least. Let's get into national security. Let's get into the war in Iraq. A very hot button issue, hot topic issue, and I'm going to make it very simple. Do we pull out or do we stay in?
That's what she said.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Anyways, do we pull out or stay in?
Wow. That's an easy one.
I'm not asking you.
All right,
Drew.
I don't know. My gut feeling is that we should pull out. I guess I don't know really anything about the war, what's going on, or what they're trying to do. So that's just totally uninformed. But that's just what I personally believe. Again, trying to stay at home and internal affairs and all that.
Taylor?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're like so many countries right now, like around the world, just like believing it's our duty to fix everybody else. And
okay.
So yes, pull out.
Okay. Do you guys want to discuss? Vizzo, looks like both of you look like you're chomping at the bit to talk about this.
I'll go first.
All right.
Well, I'm not for it staying, you know, in armed conflict anywhere. People dying is no good. But when we start a job, I think we should finish it. I mean, mm-hmm. regardless of whether you think we went in for the right reasons, pulling out to me seems like we lose our credibility. We the soldiers who died there aren't, you know, they fought for a purpose that wasn't accomplished. And why not just finish it up? We can do it. We've got the strength. We've got the strategy. It's just a matter of, you know, national confidence behind it. And I feel that we can accomplish the task, not necessarily in 100 years, like Mr. McCain has said, but definitely soon. I think we should stay in and finish the job.
This is where the whole idea of moving back away from the mic when you yell comes into play, I have a feeling.
Right. Well, it's kind of complicated because
kinda.
I like the idea of getting rid of a brutal dictator. I can't say outright that I just supported the war when we entered, but I was God kind forbid. Of okay with the concept. I think the problem now is how we're going about it. I'm not a military man. I don't profess to know anything about war strategy.
don't worry, I use that word all the time. Like that.
However, it seems to me that currently the way that I understand it is that there are certain portions of Iraq that we have pretty well secured and pretty well under control, and there are also vast areas which we don't send anybody in. And we're just not going to win a fight against this insurgency is the way that I understand it, because there are too many people who can be signed up to join this cause. I mean, it's not like there's a finite, it's not like there's a single number of insurgents and terrorists, and that we're lessening it every single day. They're recruiting, and actually our army's not recruiting very well. But I think that we need to go about this in a completely different way. I don't profess to know what that is. I can't tell you how we should do this, but I know that I am not willing to trade 3-for-1 American lives with terrorists and insurgents. I'm not willing to see in the news every single day dozen Marines dead off one suicide bomber.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to.
I'm not happy with that. I'd like more of like a, you know, 1-to-2 ratio in our favor. Maybe I'd be okay with that. That was sarcasm.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Just touch down.
All right, next topic. We've got a couple more I want to run down with you guys, and then we're going to tell you. At least I think we'll all say who we think you should vote or support, at least. Taxes/government intervention. You spoke a little bit about this, Drew.
Okay.
Let's lay down the baseline here. Obama, his idea is let's raise taxes on the wealthy, and we'll cut taxes in the middle class, supposedly. And that will garner up enough money to, you know, do all these fantastic and wonderful things like universal everything. All right? McCain is more of let's keep the Bush tax cuts in line, which cut taxes for everybody. Let's get rid of tax cuts in the middle class. Let's get rid of tax. Let's get rid of tax cuts. Let's tax cut everybody, more or less. Not raise taxes on anybody. That's the question. So which one would you support?
I would definitely support Obama. I think he should even be a little more radical in his – I think everybody – I'm almost socialist in this point of view because I think everybody should pay a lot of taxes just because that just helps the country run smoother.
But then I
have less money. I understand that. And that's okay if I'm getting universal health care. If, you know, for one example is the roads in Michigan are awful. I'm willing to pay a little bit more out of my pocket to help that – to help fix that. I mean, just small things like that, you know, that you need – that the government needs tax money for, as long as they don't blow it on trips to Mars or whatever they're doing.
But – so you would support higher taxes on everybody for universal everything. Universal coming to my house and wet my ass after I take a shit. Universal everything.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Taylor?
Oh, okay. Well,
Taylor's making a disgusting
face. I'm the exact opposite. Like, what? Okay. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm the total opposite of that.
So you wouldn't support universal healthcare?
Right, no, not really.
Because it's more government.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're basically running your life.
Yeah. And
I like being alone, you know.
Let me point to an example of kind of what Taylor's getting into, which is, and it was released, and surprisingly, it was released, I think just like a couple of days ago. The Senate runs their own restaurant. They have like this, the Congress runs their own like restaurant to feed people and whatnot. And it's government run, of course. And the restaurant over the last, I don't know, some odd amount of years, it's losing like $2 million a year. And it's gotten up to the point where it's lost like $18 million. And the restaurant is just, we're wasting our taxpayer money to feed people and it's not even making money back. It's not even breaking even. And so it's that kind of thing where I look at it and I say, wow, the government can't run anything properly. That's why we have such a large debt. Let's not take on anything else. Let's move out of everyone else's lives so we don't have to worry about that. That's my point of view. And I don't know if you guys want to touch on something.
Well, my problem with giving my money out to the government is like it's this whole big experiment. And when you cross fingers and hope that it's spent in the right way, but it doesn't always happen. In most cases, it doesn't happen.
I think that in concept, I lean more towards with Drew. I would like the government to run everything in my life up to what I do with my free time. I'm okay with that.
Why?
I don't
care. Why do you want that?
I don't want to worry about how to pay for hospital bills. I don't want to worry about any of that. I'd rather just have my own money to do with my own thing and not have to worry about how I have to work with big corporations. However...
It's better be a damn good outcome.
However, the problem with that is that you have a lot of people who say, well, I'm upset with how the government is spending my money, and I'm just so angry about this. And then they go to the voting booth, they say, well, gosh, I don't know that name, but I kind of like that party. You find a lot of people who are upset about the government and upset about how they do things are the same ones who don't know a damn thing about any of the candidates that they ever vote for, that they go to the school board elections and say, that's just my kid's education. Oh, yeah, this guy looks good. I mean, there's too many people who aren't bothering to research anything or ever find out any candidate's views. So I think that if more people bothered to look into this thing and think about it, then that problem could be solved by the voters. I think that in taxing practice, have you ever tried to balance like a broom on your fingertips?
I have
a ruler or something.
There's a roll of wrapping paper.
I'm going somewhere with this.
There's a roll of wrapping paper. Okay, I do that at work all the time.
That counts. And so you know, like, I mean, maybe if you have amazing balance, you can just hold your fingers still. But generally, you have to walk around. You have to shift your fingers around and shift the weight. Taxing's kind of like that. Supply side economics. It's not the end-all, be-all. I don't get this. Okay, wait, you'll see.
This analogy is not clear.
It's something that has to be constantly adjusted. There is no final answer with taxing. There is no...
Oh, I got a final answer.
There is no final thing. Oh, if we just not tax the wealthy, then their wealth will trickle down and we'll all be set. No, that may be true for a couple years in a row and it may work and that may be beautiful. Then the economy will change and that will not work and it will be shit. Like right now. And then sometimes you can try taxing the wealth and you can try doing this. Point is that taxing policy has to be loose. It has to be adjustable. and there is never going to be a final answer because the way that the economy is formed, the way that money and goods are traded around, is always changing as well.
Okay. Does taxing have to be fair?
No.
No, it doesn't have to be fair. So the wealthy make more money, therefore the government has a right to that money.
No.
If it helps the benefit of society.
Mm. So it's a redistribution of wealth. It's total socialism.
Yeah, it is socialism.
Exactly.
Okay.
Adjustable socialism.
Great.
Flexible socialism. Like the strap on a hat.
Oh, it's the socialist hat. It's the adjustable socialist hat. It's a one-size-fits-all socialist hat.
Can you market these, please? You just put the current on it, and I'll wear it, I promise.
I actually do have hats. You can buy them online. And they're adjustable, but they're definitely not socialist.
Socialist hats.
In fact, never mind. Anyways, let's move on to one more topic. Well, let's go.
I think Andrew
wanted
to talk about it.
If you want to mention something, go ahead.
Like taxes. I'll just say that. I don't like the government taking my money and telling me what to do with it. I believe in capitalism.
Agreed.
I'm not a socialist. Thank you.
The capitalist marketplace is absolutely too important to be left to the voluntary action of the people.
But the government is stupid.
That was a contradictory statement.
The government.
It's a quote from a Florida representative.
Oh. Okay.
Whatever.
Just pull that out of here. All right. abortion, gay marriage. Quick.
Oh, good.
That's simple. Let's just give yes-nos.
Well, we already determined that in selecting a presidential candidate, it shouldn't necessarily be on the top of the list. So.
I'm pro-choice, and gay marriage isn't. I mean,
you don't care.
Whatever, I don't really care.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about abortion. I'm kind of torn. I guess I'd be more pro-choice, and I'm definitely pro-gay marriage.
Okay. You guys want to talk about that?
May I start?
Yes, I will.
So,
let Andrew start. You've been monopolizing this.
Our friend Mr. Pike the other day brought up a very good point that I think we should acknowledge.
Ow.
The problem with abortions, you know, I personally, with my religious beliefs and my personal morals, I don't think that a woman should resort to abortion to get rid of her problems. But I think that the real issue with abortion is the number of abortions that actually occur, because, you know, we're losing millions of lives due to a decision made by a woman because she doesn't feel like she can carry a child or she's not healthy too. But I think the problem is just how can we reduce the number of abortions rather than just saying, oh, I'm pro-choice or I'm pro-life. I think there needs to be something done so that the women who think that they should get an abortion should be more educated, should be more educated on the topic of what kind of negative consequences are associated with abortions, and just have a little bit more of, like, both sides on the issue, just so the abortion number can decrease, because if we stay polarized on this issue, nothing's going to get done, and we're just going to argue about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mizzo, quick?
I'm support gay marriage.
Oh, and, I'm not, by the way.
Because, you know, that's part of the government telling you how to do spend your free time. And
which, where in the Constitution is that allowed to the government? Where does it say in the Constitution you are controlled by the government?
It doesn't. I was
Thank
referencing
you. Okay.
My earlier point.
I'm just saying, that's the document we base our
country
on.
As long as the government doesn't tell me what to do in my free time, I'm okay. So if they tell me I can't marry a man, I would be upset with that, even though I'm not gay. And abortion, I agree with my friend Andrew.
Really?
It's a complicated issue. But I like his thoughts.
Okay, last one. Global warming. Do we do something or no?
Wait, can
is
we establish... is global warming real?
Yeah,
is global warming
yeah.
real? Excuse
yes.
me.
Yeah. Well, I just... Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well,
I'm assuming
it's like a
you say
fake
yes.
issue, I think.
If it's pretty obvious... I mean, it's obvious. If it is real, then we should do something. I don't believe it to be real,
yeah.
So...
Same here.
I don't think we should do anything until there's more proof. And, or actual proof.
I think Alex Gore is just trying to restate that he invented the internet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That is so crap.
Move away from the microphone.
Like, do you really think that he would claim to invent the internet?
Yes.
No, he was joking. He was talking to a high school in the South, and he joked about how, since I voted on a bill that supported research,
I invented the internet, and it was a joke.
In the same sentence, I heard himself call himself God.
Okay, everyone took this as a serious comment.
All right, okay.
That is the most taken out of context comment in the entire history of
comments.
Mute.
Okay. He was muted for a point there, but he's so loud that the other mics picked him up. So we don't believe... Everyone over here is a consensus. Global warming is... I mean, you both said you don't think it's real.
It could be real. I don't know.
It could be. We don't know. I'm assuming.
No.
Okay, no. And I've covered this so much and then no. But I do want to play a clip real quick about Al Gore's thoughts. Well, no, it's too long. No, I didn't crew it up. Never mind. I'm not going to play it because I can't find it.
Okay.
So based upon your guys' interrogation, I kept down what you said and then how you agreed with it. And Taylor was split between McCain and Obama, so you kind of, whatever. Mm-hmm. Drew, you're Obama all the way. Only one issue you agreed with McCain on. That's at least what I got out of. I don't know if what you guys think. Yeah.
So who am I supposed to vote for then?
Well, you're supposed to support... you're split between McCain and Obama, so right now it's too close to call.
Can I vote for both?
You can't vote for both, no. They throw out your ballot if you fill in both bubbles, actually. The old lady is saying
I'm like Paris Hilton, come on. It's the same thing.
She wouldn't understand.
Can you
punch both holes.
Can you vote, Taylor?
No.
Oh. Will either of you be able to vote in November?
I will.
You'll be able to vote? And I'm assuming you plan on voting for McCain?
Yeah.
Is that reluctantly?
He plans on it.
Yes.
He plans on it.
You know, I must say, because I'm in the same boat as you, where I'm not thrilled about McCain... But I almost feel like I have to,
mm-hmm.
Because I was watching Glenn Beck, and I hate to,
oh my God.
Hate to bring that name up.
Oh God!
By the way, I'm leaving Friday to go see his show in Akron and go to his Insider Convention and meet him.
Ooh.
So that'd be fun. But anyways, I was watching.
Wash your hands really well afterwards.
I was watching Glenn Beck, and Bob Barr was on for the full hour, and I was like, well, maybe I should listen to what he has to say. Maybe he might get my vote. And it's funny because the things that McCain is weak on, for me, global warming, definitely one of them, cap and trade, that whole thing, even torture. Bob Barr is strong on, but the things that Bob Barr is weak on, like national security, McCain is strong on. Yeah. So it's really a toss-up, and so I almost feel like I don't really have a choice but McCain, because I don't want to vote for Bob Barr, because I prioritize my beliefs in national security is right up there, and I think Bob Barr is... And the libertarians in general are isolationists, and that's creepy.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's move on to our generation. There was an article in Newsweek about our generation being stupid, more or less. Actually, it was a book. It was a book by Mark Ballerline. Ballerline is going to be how I say it. It's called The Dumbest Generation, How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our future.
LOL.
LOL. Raffle.
I'm LOLing out loud.
I am raffling on the floor right now.
Anyways, for those born between...
I'm just joking.
Lovely.
Let's do the rest of the show in AOL lingo.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Wait, no. That was AOL lingo?
TTYL.
I use that in my English papers.
Oh, okay. That's probably why you got a 4 on the ACT essay right there. We'll get into that later. Anyways... He says that for those born between 1980 and 1997, quote, there is no memory of the past. Historical memory is essential to a free people. If you don't know which rights are protected in the First Amendment, how can you think critically about rights in the U.S.? And then the author of this Newsweek article basically poops on his life and says that it's called The Dumbest Generation, Don't Be Dumb. She says that our generation isn't dumb. We're just, I don't know. I guess she just thinks we're not dumb. So what do you guys think? Are we stupid?
Yeah, I think
no.
I think that you can accurately make a blanket statement about the entire generation and it will be accurate.
I don't, yeah.
Okay.
No, we are, the entire generation is not dumb.
We're not stupid.
Obviously.
I'm not everybody. I don't think that's what this guy's,
it's not worth discussing what a generation is because it's not
I don't even think on average we're dumber
than
other.
Do you think too many are unaware of historical happenings?
I think that that's been the case with every single generation.
Okay.
It's just that it's more obvious because we do it with electronic things and in the media, whereas before, instead of not finding out about voting and media and important things, they just farmed and milked the cows and stuff. The same thing. I mean, well, no. I mean, okay. Consider this country like a long. Consider the country 50 or 100 years ago. They had a lot better things to do than worry about national politics and issues in the world. Most of them had no idea about these things. They didn't read complicated publications on the matter,
And so they just didn't know and didn't care.
Unless they didn't have the internet.
I think it's the same
percent.
Wasn't
born yet.
All right, I'm leaving. I'm out.
Okay, okay. But, okay, I think we're dumb in the sense that we have... Wow, this is getting heated over there. I think this is dumb. I think we're dumb in the sense that we don't have common sense. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that.
No, that's not true.
You don't think that we have common sense?
My dad says it to me, so it must not be true.
That you don't... That you, okay.
Mark Fizzabody never lies.
Well, I just think that the way... I think we have limited common sense, and we don't think before we do certain actions... As a generation, I think a majority of people do that. I look at drinking. What are you writing over there? I look at drinking.
Was that when you were on the trampoline?
Yeah, was this trampoline thing last night that we don't want to hear about again?
All right, move on.
Okay. I look at drinking. I look at smoking. I look at sexting, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yes.
Things like that where I look at us and I'm like, well, gee, we are being really, really dumb. Like, I look at... I don't want to see that. Wow. Vizzo is really going crazy over there.
It's the ADD.
No kidding, it's the ADD.
I must be dumber.
Should have brought in security personnel. You must be stupid. That's got to be it. Let's talk about sexting. How about it, eh? Because there was...
I am pro-sexting. Could you define sexting for us and for your audience?
Sending. This is according to CNN, because they did a story about this.
Is this on Urban Dictionary? Because I would be official.
I'm pretty sure it probably is. It's the official, I guess, definition of sexting is my definition. Sending naughty pictures over the cell phone. That's
basically it. Does it have to be pictures or can it be...
It can be video.
Can it
be text?
I don't think it can be text.
I think so.
Like, what if I say, what if I send to Andrew,
why Andrew?
I love you.
That wouldn't be sexting.
And I'd like to get in bed with you.
Why would you send it to me? I'm the only girl here.
That would be... this goes back to the whole gay rights thing.
Actually, I think I have a text that says exactly that.
The CNN dude and all the people in the thing on CNN, we'll listen to the sound clip from it because these people are so intelligent. And that's a totally sarcastic remark.
Well, CNN is always right.
Hey, at least it's not Fox, right?
Not CNN. The people they interview on CNN. Not the people on CNN.
Never mind.
He says it's more sending... I guess, grotesque pictures to one another over the cell phone. And apparently it's during school, too, which I'm not...
Oh, yeah.
How do they do that?
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, what are you, just, like, taking off your shirt in class?
Is this just, like, uniform pornography, or...
No, this happened in my second hour, like, last week. Some guy...
Okay.
Not me, but his girlfriend sent him some picture when she was in school. She was, like, in the bathroom or something.
And, was he in school?
Yeah.
And did he take the picture in school?
No, she texted him. She sent him a picture.
And he got caught?
No, he's like, hey, look at my phone.
Oh, yeah. She sent the picture. Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, anyways, well, here's the sound clip, and I think they explain it a little further, but I love the kids' reactions to when the guy asked the question. I believe it's like, can you send pictures over the cell phone? And their reaction is hilarious. Listen.
People ever text photos to each other?
Yeah.
9.7 times out of 10. It's a nasty photo.
It's mostly girls taking pictures of themselves, like, naked or something, and then they send it to, like, their boyfriend or something, and it'll go around through, like, all the friends, and then somehow it gets out into the school area.
Apparently that's how it works, or something.
That sounds amazing. That sounds incredible.
Yeah, apparently. And apparently this happens a lot in Oregon.
So that's what they call it.
I thought it's just a hotbed for sexting.
They're all farmers.
No, they're not farmers in Oregon. Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know. I've never really been to Oregon, but they all seem like quaint people.
They all hang out at Starbucks.
Apparently
that's Washington.
This is Portland, Oregon. And actually, one of the students they interviewed said it best. Well, here's the sound clip. Just listen.
Kids say the worst part is that one photo can get to dozens of people in a matter of minutes.
You know, it's like the internet. Things could get out, and you know that when you take a picture in the first place.
And that picture could lead to serious consequences.
People don't really care. Like, teenagers don't care.
They don't think about it at all. They're not thinking when they do it.
Yeah, they're not thinking, apparently, when they do it.
Because we're dumb.
Because we're all a bunch of
every
imbeciles.
Every one of us.
Thanks to, according to Mark Bayer-Lynn, apparently.
You know, I bet our parents would have done that if they had cell phones.
You think so?
Just what kids do. They're horny. They send naked pictures.
My parents wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You don't know if your parents would have done that.
This is a good point. If our parents or generations previous to us had the technology that we had, would they be doing the things that we do now? back then.
No.
For sure.
Probably.
You know, I bet you if we ask our parents, they did something pretty raunchy that we just don't know about that was low tech.
Yeah.
That was, low tech.
That was low tech.
They drew a picture.
They drew pictures and photocopied them and passed them around.
Oh,
that's the old school way, apparently. We got to take one more quick commercial break. Actually, it's not quick. It's 2.5 minutes. Depends on your definition of quick. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the college process, taking the ACT and the SAT, and how they're actually might be optional in quite a bit of universities coming up here, and how that really irks me, because we all had to take them, and it sucks.
Were they optional?
Well,
talk about that later.
You're going to have to wait until after the break, Drew, to figure that out. We'll be right back.
This is The Current. U.S. Chamber of Commerce states when signage is part of overall marketing, the increase in revenue is profound. Signage is the least expensive yet most cost-effective form of advertising, and you invest just once. The LED Sign Company of Texas is number one in sales among more than 500 sign companies nationwide, and our last 10 testimonials averaged 45.6% in sales increases. To see real case studies and testimonials, visit us at valueofsigns.com.
If you aren't using search engine marketing to generate new business, you're losing sales to the competition. WPromote helps businesses like yours reach people who are searching for your products and services online. Call a WPromote marketing specialist today at 1-800-413-1605 or find out more about WPromote search engine marketing for your business at WPromote.com/radio. That's WPromote.com/radio. WPromote.com/radio.
Sunday dinner. It was more than sitting down to one of Grandma's great recipes. Sunday dinner was an all-day event. A day of football and pickup games in the backyard. A day where the more the merrier was the rule. A day filled with family and friends and more than a few laughs. Sunday dinner topped off the most special day of the week. And no one remembers Sundays better than we do here in Michigan's Saginaw Valley. From cultural arts to down-home entertainment, championship golf courses to the Midwest's best shopping, Michigan's Saginaw Valley serves up something special for everyone. So get the boys together to play a round or three, call the girls to do some serious shopping, or just pile the kids in the car and follow the smell of Grandma's chicken. Because doing Sunday dinner upright is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
We were talking about Michigan sports during the break.
And Michigan State sports,
well,
come on.
Yeah, well, they don't really compare, so we didn't really talk about them.
Au contraire.
I'm going to Michigan State next year, so I actually really like their sports, but it's going to be tough for me. Speaking of me going to Michigan State next year, wow, what an awesome transition that was.
Especially when you pointed it out.
Yeah, I know, that's what makes it the best. Let's talk about the college process. We're all at a different stage in the college process. Drew and I are going to college.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I've worked so hard.
Worked so hard to get into college. So we're at the end. We just got to go to orientation.
Which is tomorrow.
You have orientation tomorrow?
I do. I'm leaving tonight.
What do you do at your orientation? Because I want to talk about this, because I'm kind of ticked.
I've heard that you just use your classes. You get a tour.
Is it just one day? Do you have to stay overnight there?
Mine is one day, but it starts at 8 a.m. So we're going to stay overnight in a hotel. It's a Grand Valley's 3 hour or 2.5 hours away. So,
see, my thing at State is 2 days.
Do you stay in the dorm overnight?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The first day is, ooh, let's give you presentations on everything for like 15 hours, and we'll talk about all this crap, and I'm like, oh, my God. And the second day I do is register for classes. I'm thinking, you can't cut one of these stupid presentations out and just skip ahead. We don't have to stay overnight in the dorms. But let's talk about the college process, because we've all taken the ACT now, and it sucked because I took it twice. And, you know, it actually went faster than I thought it was going to be. I don't know about you guys, but it went. Everyone's like, it's like 4 hours.
After taking the SAT. The ACT was a breeze.
I didn't take the SAT.
SAT was like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, that's why I didn't take it.
It was longer than that. It was like 5. And it had like 25 sections.
I can't remember. It might have been 6 or 7.
So might have been 24, actually. Pretty sure they pitched tents. No, but they're going to make, or they're thinking about it, a couple schools are making the ACT and the SAT, if I say those next to each other, it's hard, optional, and they're not going to require them anymore. Smith College and Wake Forest, two pretty decent schools, are on board with that. And the idea is to put more of a, I guess, credibility. I mean, your GPA would be more than your ACT or the SAT or your extracurriculars, your well-roundedness, stuff like that, which kind of sucks after taking these tests. What do you guys think?
I like it, though.
I think SAT and ACT are important to have as part of the college thing. Like, I mean, colleges always talk about that they try and look at the total package, and as long as they do that, then that's great, because sometimes it's hard to compare GPAs because of different strength schools or different weird schedules. Sometimes it's hard to compare extracurriculars depending on what's available or what the kid's interested in. But it's also not fair to only use standardized test scores, since sometimes some kinds of kids do really well on those, some kinds of kids just don't.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at the entire package. So I'm more in favor of them using part of that. And not to look at that at all is to remove part of that whole artwork.
Art.
And Taylor, you were saying that you wanted the ACT because it overshadowed your GPA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's not like I'm going to pull out 35 out of my ass and get into some...
Really?
Like Vizzo here.
Like Vizzo. I mean, my GPA slacked at times, so I think it's going to help me to some point in getting somewhere. So I'm in favor of keeping it.
What schools are... I mean, you three are juniors. What schools are you looking at? Would you stop messing with the bobblehead? I paid good money for that.
Jacob's going
to
the
NAW. He always agrees with me.
Are you going to the NAW, Jacob?
He is.
No.
The NAW? Washington? Seriously.
Georgetown.
Georgetown?
Mm.
Why Georgetown?
It's close to where I want to live one day.
Oh, D.C.?
And work. I'm the nation.
I get that.
So that's a pretty good school.
Well, it's kind of different, because despite a 35 on the ACT and AP courses and a nice GPA and honor roll and everything, am going...
Wow, Jesus, way to go.
I'm going to play music. And so it doesn't really matter how smart I am. It just matters how good I sound. I have to audition for my professors.
Okay, so you're not coming anywhere near answering my question.
Where are you going?
Where are you going? Or where you want to go? Where you aspire to?
But no.
Michigan would be nice.
Michigan? The University of Michigan?
I'm not going to get into Juilliard, so.
Not going to make it.
I thought you got a 35. It doesn't
matter.
I don't know. Shallow ACT.
I'm sorry?
What?
Is there a cello ACT?
No. You know what I hated about the college process and the admissions was were the essays. You have to write on these stupid applications because they were the dumbest questions in the world. And I was like, I just BS'd it all. It was retarded.
I don't like the standardized essays.
I don't like a standardized test either. That's why I sucked at them. I just didn't care.
No, he said essays.
Oh, essays.
The one that he got a 4 on.
Oh, yeah, you're 4 on the ACT.
That kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's pretty bad. That you can't write.
Oh. Could be it.
He's a letterer.
Aren't you doing newspaper next year?
Maybe.
Editor? Possible editor? Maybe we should tell Mr. Hill you got a 4.
Oh my gosh. I will.
Wow. Anyways, so essays were terrible. I hated
those were baloney. Those essays were baloney. They were so stupid.
They're like, name one thing that in your life has been really a challenge for you.
Well, yeah, something like, how do you plan on changing the world? Essay. Okay.
This essay is going to change the world.
I'll write you a paragraph about how I'm going to change the world. That's what I'm going to do.
In one paragraph, I can tell you how I'm going to change the world. Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, I'm not complaining. I got into Michigan State, which was the only essays I had to write.
Granville, I didn't have an essay?
They did not.
I had to write. Syracuse had an essay, a personal statement, which looked like the same thing to me. And they had to write all my interests out and all this crap. It's like, oh my God, it's almost not even worth it.
Great. That's writing.
Yes. He's yesing me. Well, I think that does it. And anything anybody else wants to add about that topic before we close? Wait,
I hate NHS. I hate it.
That's not very nice.
Because everyone only joins it for college application purposes. Everyone does all this stupid stuff. I have to take this AP course so I can look good on my college application. Oh, they take courses that they have.
Does everyone in NHS talk about high pitched voice like that?
These courses that they have zero interest in, but it'll look good on college applications. They do community service half-assed that they don't care about, and they're doing it because it'll look good on college applications, not because they care about the old people that they're helping.
Do all these things
and their whole middle school through senior year of high school is so geared towards getting into college that it makes me sick. It's like, if I don't get into college, I'm a failure, because there's no other point in life besides getting a good job.
Andrew, are you an NHS?
I'm the vice president of NHS.
So you might want to respond. You might want to respond to that.
I don't like the fact that you generalize that all members of NHS do that.
Yeah, what happened to blanket statements? You were all like, "Oh, we don't blanket statement people."
Okay, I apologize. Probably 3% of NH members are there because they want to do good in the world.
There are a good majority of NHS members who are there for community service.
Yes, about
opportunities.
3%, but 3% is a majority if you think about it.
It just so happens that being an NHS would be. Look good on the college application.
Did you try to get
it's
an NHS?
It's an added
no, they
bonus.
Invited me. I declined their invitation.
And you were like, you're not good enough for me.
Exactly. Jesus.
Yeah, really.
I threw that letter away.
Wow.
Burned it.
Anyways, on that note, should I ask again if there's anything else you want to add? Because that led to something a little unexpected. Okay, no.
You might add 20 minutes to your show.
Actually, we're in good time. I've been able to keep him in check. That's good. I was very proud of myself.
That's a first.
It is a first. I can put that on my wall. Anyways, that does it for
right
our...
next to the Rudy Giuliani poster.
There's actually no room next to it.
Because they're about as impressive.
The Ron Paul hopeless poster is my favorite. We stole that off the street and put that in here.
I do like that.
That's cool. I like that. I got a lot of crap in here. It's kind of nice. Anyways, that does it for our special Teens and Politics episode from the Current Podcast. Don't forget, we've got Current episode 99 on Wednesday, June 25th. And our live 3-hour episode on Isn't That Amazing, Right?
Hey, when's the sports show?
Yeah, seriously.
We'll talk.
All right.
How about that?
We'll talk.
And our live 3-hour episode on, well, I don't really know when. I think it's Monday, July 7th, from 12 to 3, but that's not
final. I have one more question.
Yeah.
Who's winning the finals?
Boston.
You sure?
I hope so.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Why do you hope so? Are you a Boston fan?
No. Well, I don't like Lakers.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just passive elimination.
Okay.
Big terms.
And we also have a special election update from Ohio and the Glenn Beck show down there.
I hate Glenn Beck
in Akron
so much.
This weekend on Saturday, June
14th. You know what? Let's just end this. Glenn Beck end this before you need to start bleeping things out.
I've bleeped things out before. We can
do it.
We can do that.
Do it.
No, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to. You read Glenn Beck's book though, didn't you?
Yep. And I hated it.
I have my signed copy upstairs. It's very nice.
Well, let me go piss on it.
Please don't. Anyways, I want to thank our panel, Andrew Sean, Jacob Isavati, Taylor France, and Drew Jurgensen, for being here today.
No problem.
Thank you, guys. Fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
I really...
Summer.
Final good closing words. Anyways, that does it, everybody. Thank you for listening to this current episode. We've got a while until our next one, but stay tuned, and we'll have it out eventually. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Goodbye.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass, there's a real blade of grass. Be careful as you...